Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll build on all those things. And like I told the guys, what we've got to be able to do is understand that you've got to understand really how close you are sometimes. And you can't allow the weight of the disappointment or the weight of the scrutiny, you can't allow that to derail you or to sidetrack you or to push you away from your goal, because we can accomplish what we want to accomplish. We can do it. We're the kind of team that can do it. So we take this rest of this time now. We'll practice on Tuesday and Wednesday. And there's plenty of things we can work on. There's plenty of things we can build on, which I'm happy about.
You know, we'll have some decisions to make moving forward. Not as many, I think, you know, tough decisions this year looking at it, which I'm thankful for. But obviously, as we look out, we'll have some tough decisions after next season. So a year from now, we'll have some tough choices and decisions to make regarding players.
So you heard John Harbaugh from Monday and talking about goals and accomplishing goals, and things are still in front of them. And then you heard Eric DaCosta, this is from the offseason, talking about, they really don't have a lot of hard decisions this year, but next year.
Thank God. Thank God. It was such an easy offseason.
Yeah, next year it's tough decisions. Well,
dodge those bullets.
In the category of life comes at you fast, they're 1-5. So there's a lot more decisions than I think he expected on his plate, especially with the trade deadline looming on November the 4th. So with all that in mind, who has been the Ravens' best player
this was a difficult exercise. And you've got Harbs talking about, you know, there's an opportunity here at 1-5 to reverse the course of their season and to become, you know, part of a small, very small group of teams that have saved their season and reached the playoffs after starting 1-5 and embracing that opportunity. And he's pushing the narrative that they're not that far off, which led me to think, well, if they're not that far off, it must mean because, well, collectively they've been a failure, that they must be seeing individual gains and individual strengths and individual growth that would lead them to think that a greater collective is ahead. So then I stared at their roster for a half hour, and I'm like, what the hell am I missing here?
How'd that go?
Because if you ask me who their MVP is through the first third of the season, I might say Big Looper.
Yeah. Lamar.
If we're taking Lamar out of it.
He played in half the games, and the last time we saw Lamar, he was getting frustrated and flummoxed by the Chiefs.
I think take Lamar out of it. And this was a very tough exercise, but the guy that I'm reluctantly coming to is Zay Flowers, and I think a lot of it...
I would have certainly said that before Sunday.
Yes, and I think it's tough saying that now after the debacle that was Sunday, where he had one fumble and another one that should have been charged to him, but it was Cooper
changed
Rush.
The game. They could have still won that game.
Absolutely, it did. But I'm looking at the big picture with
Big
Zay
picture
Flowers,
bones.
Where He has a career-high catch percentage, 73.9%. He's averaging a career-high 70.5 yards per game, receiving yards per game. So he's on pace to have career-high numbers. I get it. It was a debacle on Sunday, but I side with Zay Flowers.
This is really a tough exercise, and you guys, obviously Tyler Loop's been good. Jordan Stout's been good. Zay Flowers had a decent year. I would, on the sliding scale, I would throw Nate Wiggins into that conversation. I think he's played good football.
Under consideration.
But, like, nobody, Lamar, before, like, he was good, really good early, and you know, by the time he gets hurt against the Chiefs in the second half of the Lions.
He played six games. He missed two of them, and the last one he played in, he wasn't good.
And he wasn't great in the Lions game either. So, like, they scored a garbage touchdown late. That game wasn't as close to final score. So, yeah, I think if I have to take a player that's not a specialist, it's either Flowers or Wiggins, and I'm not feeling great about either one of them.
And that's where we stand. So we've dug down on this on all sides of the ball. We've talked about Harbaugh. We've talked about coordinators. Harbaugh's called out one coordinator, going balls to the wall to defend the other one. We've talked about personnel and front office, and I've talked about the lack of accountability in their building because I think it is a big deal. I say it sometimes facetiously, but when the you know, the boss is away, the mice will play or whatever the hell that is. And they got an absentee owner, and they got a guy as a team president who's a lightweight who nobody takes seriously. It's just a fact. It's a fact. He was a winless GM. He was running a WNBA team. Like, it is what it is. So I think they got cultural problems. So we've documented all that, but when you, again, take it down to the granular level and look at each individual, is he bringing the best out in himself? Is his position coach bringing the best out in him? Is the person above the position coach bringing the best out in the position coach to get the best out of play? Like, it's such a systematic failure that you juxtapose it to what Harbaugh's pushing during this bye week. And it's, again, we're beyond, like, just narratives or just talking points. They're full-blown gaslighting you. Like, this was the week we're getting gaslit by Chuck Smith. We're getting gaslit by Harbaugh.
The whole coaching staff.
We're getting gaslit by Warhop. We're getting gaslit by Orr. It's sad and it's shameful. But I guess that's the best they think they can do. It's certainly not particularly transparent. It doesn't. None of the rhetoric I've heard this week engenders any sense in me that they really can course correct this, that they really do see it for the debacle that it is and have a plan to get out of it. They seem to still, to me, at least in what they're peddling publicly, to be blinded by their off-season press clippings and everybody telling them what a great team they were.
We did the TMI earlier this week. Who is better now than 2024? And you're struggling to come up with names, but even taking a step further, is there a Pro Bowler on this team right now? Is there a player that we think is going to make the Pro Bowl based on the first six games?
No. Well, that's tricky because it's popularity.
I know popularity.
There's fans
all that,
involved, but the whole process is a joke.
Even a second.
But I mean, is anybody worthy of it? Hell no.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah, to your point, Zay Flowers made the Pro Bowl last year. Probably should have went to Brian Thomas Jr., but alas.
Brian Thomas Jr. ain't making the Pro Bowl.
No,
this year
he is not. He is not. Not right now. He's not. But was he good last year? There's no deserving candidates on this team right now. We're straining to find their best player.
The strength of the team is supposed to be the secondary. They can't turn anybody over. They don't make any plays on the ball. We knew they didn't have pass rush coming in, and they traded a guy who fumbled his way into 10 sacks for a safety who might keep people aligned, but is not a ball hawk, is not a playmaker. Like, the idea that this is close to a turnaround, there's zero. I mean, honestly, and there's no evidence that, unless you want to believe that now they can run the ball, and then that'll allow them to protect the defense and they'll become an elite time of possession team. But what I would say to counter that is, the one area where Harbs was really real, I felt like this week, was him talking about just how broken they are in short yardage situations. So even they, that would maybe seem to be the way out of it, but even he's kind of telling you, yeah, I don't really believe that because we can't win up front no matter what we do.
It's going to be an interesting week next week when they get back from the bye and get ready to play the Chicago Bears a week from Sunday. We have a massive Thursday show. Get started guess-wise. MLB playoffs continue. A home team has not won a playoff game in the CS round. We'll talk about it with Tony Gwynn Jr., Odyssey MLB Insider at 2:30. Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger at 3 o'clock. Get his thoughts on where the Ravens stand as they hit the bye. A lot to talk with our friend Lucy Birch from DraftKings about. Of course, we'll get our best bets from her as well.
Yeah, I mean, a football-heavy show, but we will talk a little bit more baseball now that we're further removed from the Ravens' last game and still pretty far away from their next game. Now Pujols allegedly sort of a candidate.
Yeah.
There's no reporting to indicate there's even been conversations on the periphery. Like, it sounds like Pujols' agent is trying to get him some leverage outside of the Angels. But whatever, we'll get into that. The Orioles seem to be completely and utterly consumed with the idea of trying to keep anything they do under wraps, which I don't really know how that serves them, but whatever. Mike Locksley in the department of, it's hard to believe what you hear. He had some interesting things to say about his football team before they depart for the West Coast.
And the Terps are going to the West Coast. The West Coast Rams are still here on the East Coast as they're practicing. It's some wild videos coming out of the Rams' Twitter of them practicing at Camden Yards. I saw Matthew Stafford throwing off a mound yesterday.
They got the big sign there. No cleats on the mound.
Yeah, so that was fun. So no Puka Nacua if you're interested in those kind of things. He hadn't practiced all week. Alas, coming up next, we played you some Harbs. We played you some Chuck Smith from this week. What did Todd Monken have to say before the team went on bye? Some monkey business next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the Fan.
Well, it falls into every situation within the game. There's all of those that fall into that, whether it's rundowns, get back on track, third downs, short yardage, 2 minute, 4 minute, the game within the game. It's a number of things. One, we can certainly scheme it better. I say this all the time. You guys get tired of me saying it. Scheme it better. Call it better. Execute better. That's really what it comes down to. It doesn't matter what situation it is. You know, some of it, like the one, was, you know, a goal-to-goal situation. A couple times we've had others were in the red zone or black zone. We've had penalties or we've had, things that we just got to do it better.
So that's Todd Monken talking about the short yardage struggles. And he says, I got to coach it better. We got to scheme it better. Ed, you mentioned, Jason, last segment, one of the few things that Harbs has been honest about is their struggles in short yardage.
It's pretty broken. 11 carries in goal-to-go situations for 8 yards. Minus 0.55 yards before contact. They're 28th in the league in goal to go efficiency. They've gotten too cute for their own good at times when they've tried to just hand it off to Derrick Henry. That hasn't worked particularly well either. Getting Lamar back will help. You know, and he's talking about all the different things they need to do better. I would suggest draft better offensive linemen. That might be where the whole thing really needs to start. It also sounded to me like somebody was playing floor hockey in the background.
Yeah, there's something going on.
I'm picturing Sashi and DaCosta. One-on-one floor hockey. But Sashi would probably win because DaCosta would be hard to see with the glasses on.
Oh. You mean it'd be hard for him to see?
Yeah, so I give Sashi the advantage.
Yeah, because
it'd be hard to pick the puck up.
Yeah.
In the floor hockey when you're wearing your sunglasses at night and during the day.
But yeah.
A lot of these things go hand in hand. And you focus on the short yardage, and the vast majority of these short yardage situations have come in the red zone. And that's why the Ravens have been so inept in the red zone as a whole this year, where they were by far and away the best red zone offense in football in 2024. This year they've plummeted to 26th. And the short yardage situation is a huge reason why they're bottom 10.
More from Monk. Does he regret the tush-push tactic at the goal line?
100%. I mean, throughout every game, whether we score a lot or we score a little, not happens a lot less frequently when you score a lot. But throughout the game, there's calls you're like, maybe not. You know, that's just what you do. I mean, you take ownership in when it isn't successful, a given play, a given series, a given quarter, a given game. That's what you do. That's what they pay us to do. That's what pay our players to do, which is assess how it went. And obviously, whenever it doesn't go well, you always look at it and go, maybe that wasn't right. No, we're not the only ones. Everything that we do within a game. So those are things we always look at and fight like hell to fix it. And I know you guys hear me say that all the time, but that's what you do.
I did not expect Monk to go full Stone Feltz there at the start of the answer. We went 100%. That's I've not heard that in a while, but yes, regrets, he's got a few.
Do we think that the Andrews direct snap,
push,
brotherly shove, Charm City choke, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Do we think that's dead? Do we think that there's been a Sharpie and it's just scratched that right out of the playbook? Like next week, if Monk's got the play sheet stuffed in his front pants, and there's a big chunk that's just blacked out, do we think that's the Charm City choke? Do we think that's dead?
Yeah.
I'm not fully convinced it's
you
dead.
You think it could be resuscitated?
We're not going to see it next week. I think it's going to.
But it's like Jason Voorhees. It could jump out of Crystal Lake at some point.
Wow. Yeah. There's a reference. He has no idea what you're saying. Do you know Jason Voorhees is, Bon?
That's the Halloween movie. Scary movie.
That's Michael Myers. But you're close enough.
Scary movie.
Friday the 13th.
Yeah. I have not seen it, but I'm aware.
More from Monk, who spoke on Tuesday. The thought process of making a quarterback change during a game without Lamar.
I don't know if there's a what conversation goes into that. I think there's our talk is, all right, how's the game going? Where are we at? You know, what? There's other things that play into it. What's the weather like? What's the score of the game? Do we need a spark? That all those things are a part of it.
Well, they needed a spark because the one guy stinks. For you.
What comes back first? Cooper Rush or the Charm City choke?
What do you mean, plays?
Who do we see next?
I am tickled that you want this Charm City choke thing to be something. If somebody just tuned in five seconds ago, nobody
nicknames.
Has any idea.
Loves nicknames.
Yeah. He's referring to the tush push, by the way.
Well, the tush push works. So yeah. I'm not referring to
their tush push.
I'm referring to the Charm City choke.
Higante Unior, that did die.
Yeah, it did. I
answer the question.
I think the tush push is here before Cooper Rush.
I agree.
I'm going to say Cooper Rush.
So
you're assuming Lamar gets hurt again.
It's a long season. I think, have you seen this offensive line?
I don't know if you guys
got sacked 15 times before this last.
I don't know if you guys remember my six pack yesterday, but I think there's a shot Cooper Rush ain't here in a couple weeks. Yes, so
I do remember. I do recall.
More from Todd Monken, who spoke on Tuesday, finding a niche in the. Take responsibility for the below par play of Cooper Rush.
Well, start with me. I mean, we got to do it better for him. You know, there's a lot of that we can do better offensively for him. We did a better job in the game the other day. What I was excited about is we needed to be able to run the football. We did run the football. And that's a starting point. Whoever your quarterback is, if you can run the football, you're going to be in advantageous down and distances. And we got to do it better for him. Can certainly play better around him.
He's not lying. They did run the football. There was that positive against the Rams. Not on many other positives, but there was that.
Hey, Derrick Henry ran the ball 16 times in the first half.
And
they ran like 70 plays on offense because they were able to get volume in the run game. Yeah. I mean, is it sustainable? Not so sure, but it's a nice
it's something.
It was easily nice the foundation. Biggest positive for the offense.
Absolutely.
By far and away.
Ravens are now officially on their bye. They practice Tuesday and Wednesday. They're now off until they come back next week, back on the practice field on Wednesday to get ready for the Bears. But coming up next, blowout in the ALCS last night. No home team has won a game in this round. We'll talk playoffs and maybe some managerial stuff because Tony Gwynn Jr., of course, part of Padres Radio. What's he think of Ryan Flaherty? Odyssey MLB insider Tony Gwynn Jr. joins us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next here on The Fan. Great time of year as we've got playoff baseball almost every single day. It's a perfect time to go to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where we're joined by Odyssey MLB insider Tony Gwynn Jr. Insider calls are presented by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And Tony, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. Before we get to the playoffs, though, I do have a question for you. You obviously are part of Padres Radio, so you're very close to that team. Mike Schilt retires. Ryan Flaherty, part of that staff. There is a conversation in these parts that the Orioles are going to talk to Ryan Flaherty about their open managerial job. Your thoughts on Flaherty as a potential manager? Do you think he's going to be the next guy in San Diego? What do you think of Ryan Flaherty?
I love Ryan. I think he's one of the more brighter baseball minds we have. I think he gets the new generational player. And I know that, you know, it's said that he's one of A.J. Preller's favorites. So yeah. I don't know if he'll be the next guy. But I would have to imagine he's certainly going to be in contention to be the next guy.
I have a sort of a philosophical question just about managerial searches in general. And I think even in the NFL, where everything is supposed to be super top secret, there's a lot of teams that will put out a tweet after they interviewed somebody and, you know, acknowledge it or whatever. It seems to become a little bit more of the norm. And I don't know what teams really have by trying to hide it. Like, you've got an open position, and if you have a chance to talk to the best and the brightest, right? It's not an industry secret. The Orioles job's been open since they fired Brandon Hyde in May, and they haven't acknowledged anything about this. You know, and
Luis Rojas.
They didn't announce it, and they haven't confirmed it. Other people reported
it.
But I guess if you've got a credibility gap and your fan base is kind of looking at you having trouble believing what you're saying, do you think there's anything to be gained by trying to do this work in complete and utter darkness?
No. I've never really understood that. But
me
that
neither.
Is how most teams operate, as if, you know, no one knows that, you know, these are the top tier candidates mm-hmm. out there. And so it's always been a little bit confusing to me. I think from the Padres standpoint, they've bought themselves some time mm-hmm. and they bought themselves some equity in terms of fans believing them, because, you know, going back when this process started, they pretty much told the fans, listen, we're not going to be very good for 5 years. And then once that rolls around, we'll start to spin. And they've held to that. And yes. So I think it garners a little bit of trust from the fan base in terms of being top secret in terms of who you're interviewing. I'm sure some names will leak out, as they always do. But, yeah, it's always been something that I find quite strange, that a lot of teams operate with the kind of secrecy that they do in terms of an open position that everybody knows is open.
Well, let's get to the playoffs last night, Tony. Blue Jays offense erupted after being rather quiet the first couple of games. But I wanted to start with Shane Bieber, where he got shelled in his prior start against the Yankees. He walked to Rosarena to begin his start and then gave up the bomb to Julio a couple batters later. But then settled in after that point. Yeah. Just how impressed were you with Bieber rebounding?
I was super impressed. You know, after watching the first two games and how those went, you thought immediately the Blue Jays are in deep trouble. But as you said, he settled in. And that's been part of the playoffs this year that I've enjoyed, is seeing starting pitching kind of, you know, reemerge in some ways, right? We saw Snell. We saw Yamamoto. We saw Miller the first game of this series give up the solo shot early and then settle in and throw the ball well. Bieber was very much the same. He really kept those guys off balance. His breaking ball command was exceptional. And, you know, they got themselves right back in this series with that win.
Talking with Tony Gwynn Jr. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. Tony, you just alluded to the Dodgers, and they get 8 scoreless from Blake Snell. They get a complete game, only 1 run from Yamamoto. Got Glasnow going tonight, and I guess Ohtani in game 4. Well, some old school starting pitching. And do you think this series is over?
My heart wants to say no, it's not, but my brain is saying yes, it is. I mean, you just kind of ran through it. You got Glasnow, who's thrown the ball extremely well. Ohtani's been terrific as well, as they've kind of started to take the reins off of him. I thought, you know, the Brewers' best shot was after game 1, right? Blake Snell throws the 8. I'm thinking Yamamoto might be the guy you can get, and he basically says, hold my beer, I'll go a full 9 complete game. And it doesn't get any easier, you know. I know from the Brewers' standpoint, they're going to have to find a way. And listen, it's easier said than done, but it is the task at hand, right? You're going to have to – I thought, especially in that Yamamoto start, they chased a lot of balls out of the zone. He was running that sinker in off the plate to righties. He was dropping that split in off the plate to righties, and they just kept offering it. You have to do the same type of job the Dodgers force you to do, which is get you in the zone. If they get you in the zone, you have a different ball game. You got a shot. But when you're facing the caliber of these pitchers and you're giving them help, it's set up to be a long night.
I mean, it's kind of hard not to extrapolate this whole thing forward. And I know I've been someone who's kind of hoping that, honestly, that the Dodgers don't turn into a mini dynasty. And so I've asked you many times this along the course of the season, are the Dodgers vulnerable? But now I find myself wondering if they're able to make this a short series and set their staff up the way they want ahead of time for the World Series, if they might not have too many, like if they might only have like 6 more baseball games to play this year or something like that.
It's looking that way.
Like, right? It feels inevitable, no?
It does. I mean, and listen, we had those conversations throughout the year, and it was all predicated off of the starters not really being healthy, and the bullpen having to kind of shoulder the load, or they kind of patchworking the starting rotation. Once they got healthy and those guys started getting innings under them, you could kind of see it coming. And I think, you know, Blake Snell is just phenomenal. I've always thought he has had pound for pound like the best stuff in baseball. Now he's in the zone more, and that just makes him really, really tough to deal with. And then you follow that with Yamamoto, who is, I think, pitching with great confidence. Glasnow throwing the ball well. And Ohtani, quite frankly, is really just scratching the surface. They really haven't let him fully go yet. And so Yes, they are set up. And you know what? They didn't panic. When all that stuff was going on during the regular season, they had a plan. And, you know, it doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes in Major League Baseball, a plan comes together perfectly. It looks like that's what's happening for the Dodgers right now.
Tony, I wanted to go back to the Blue Jays. Vladdy's having a phenomenal postseason, but something that we've talked about on this show for years in regards to the Orioles is having that veteran bat in the lineup that's been there, done that. And I'm talking about George Springer, who's played in multiple World Series. He's that vet. He's having a really strong postseason as well. Just how important is it to have that type of guy in your lineup?
I think it's vital. I don't mind having one or two guys like that in your lineup because, you know, as young as a team like the Blue Jays is in terms of their core guys, as putting aside Springer, you know, there's not a lot of postseason experience. And so when you have a guy that, especially at the top of the lineup, that is literally setting the tone for everybody every night, you get a chance to see it. I think there's some carryover in that. I think whether it's verbally through, you know, talking at it or just watching, you pick up on things that guys like George Springer does with his at-bats and how he puts them together. And so I think it's fine. I think the Orioles kind of are learning that kind of the hard way, right? They had this extremely young core of players that are uber talented, but they didn't have that veteran bat. And when it came to postseason time, it would show itself. And, you know, you get into a rut like they did this year with a bunch of young guys, it's even harder to kind of pull yourself and get yourself going offensively. I think it's one of the missing pieces, not just on the offensive side, but also in the rotation. Having guys like that a young staff can kind of bounce things off of, I think can help developing those guys in a much faster way.
Correct me if I'm wrong, sir, but I believe you may be heading to these parts in about 6 weeks for a fundraising event with Adam Jones at Baltimore Urban Baseball Association. Am I correct about that?
I am possibly coming.
Okay.
I haven't been able to quite confirm it yet, but yes, I'll possibly be down there.
Obviously, you've done a lot of work in the San Diego area with trying to get a game that's become increasingly suburban and expensive, getting kids in cities access to it. Just could you enlighten people a little bit about what that mission's been like and maybe how far we still have to go as a sort of baseball loving country?
I think we got a tremendous amount of ways to go. However, you are starting to see baseball back in the urban communities a lot more than it has. And you, I think sports in general is becoming too expensive across the board at the youth level. And, you know, it's been difficult, especially in the beginning, as it seemed like you were almost kind of having to reintroduce the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, especially in the last 3 years, Major League Baseball has done a much better job of being more visual in those communities. And I think social media has certainly helped kind of be able to reach some of those corners that I think were kind of being forgotten about. So, I mean, listen, it's still a mission that, as I said, has a lot of work to be done. But I do start to feel like we're making progress. You're starting to see more players of color pop up at the not only at the big league level, but you're starting to see them filter through the minor leagues and into colleges, which is also, I think, leaves some room for improvement as well. But I'm being encouraged here the last 3 or 4 years that we're starting to move in the right direction.
Tony Gwynn Jr., always great,
thank
man.
You, sir.
Thank you so much for your time. We'll chat next week.
Thanks for having me, guys.
That was Odyssey MLB Insider Tony Gwynn Jr. with supplies and solutions for every industry. Granger has the right product for you. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. When we come back, we've got a baseball, we got an NFL football game tonight, we got college football. There's a lot going on. It's a perfect time for Beltway Ben Hall. Want to bet next here on The Fan. Song of the summer is now the song of the fall, and let's bring on Beltway Ben Hall, who we got a full docket of sports starting tonight, heading into the weekend. Where would you like to start?
Yeah, we'll go with the NFL. I got a few NFL plays that I really, really like for tonight. I will start with Jaylen Warren, over 68.5 rushing and receiving yards. Bengals, bottom 8 in defensive rush success, bottom 5 in EPA against the run. And Warren's been all over the place this year in terms of carries, 11, 14, 18, missed a week with injury, and then came back last week, 11. And then catches, 2 for 22, 4 for 86, 5 for 34, and then 2 for 11 in those games he's played. He's over this in 2 of 4, and the one under week was week 1. That was a weird week in general, mm-hmm. and then the other was returning from injury. So I do think he gets going. The Bengals are allowing 46 receiving yards per game to running backs, which is the fifth most in the NFL. When you combine their inability to stop running backs in the passing game and just running backs running the football in general, I do think we see Jaylen Warren get off a little bit tonight. I like him over 68.5 receiving yards. Next play, Jonnu Smith over 25.5 receiving yards at minus 135. Everywhere I look, everybody is on Darnell Washington, and I get it. The offense has been a lot more efficient. It's been a lot better when he's on the field. But if you look at what Jonnu Smith has done this year, I don't think we've seen him hit the ceiling that they expect, and we know Arthur Smith's background with him. The Bengals are allowing 65.8 receiving yards per game to tight ends, which is the seventh most in the NFL. Last week, we saw him run 22 routes. That is the most he's run all year, tied for the most. And Darnell Washington, he's up to 19 routes run and 16 the past 2 weeks, so he's been on the field more. 15 passing plays where they had both of them on the field. So I would expect to see both of them. I think Freiermuth will be on the field for rundowns, and they'll keep those two on the field for passing downs. And then my favorite play of the day, Noah Fant over 26.5 receiving yards, minus 118. He's gotten more and more work as the season's gone on, especially last week. 22 routes he ran. And a big reason for that, Mike Gesicki is injured. We all know in the Baltimore area, Joe Flacco, how he is with tight ends. Dennis Pitta, Todd Heap, Ed Dixon, Nick Boyle, everybody he's worked with, Max Williams, Crockett Gilmore. Yeah. He has always loved throwing the football to tight ends. And then, yeah, I mean, it's name after name. Ben Watson, when he was here for a year.
Ben Watson.
And you go to when he left. When he's left Baltimore, the guy who's caught the most passes from him, David Njoku. He loves throwing the football to tight ends. I think we'll see Noah Fant get involved. Pittsburgh's allowing 71.8 receiving yards to tight ends per game, second most in the NFL. Harold Fannin last week, 7 catches, 81 yards, and Njoku, 3 for 28. So I do think we see Fant get going today.
Anything in the realm of baseball you like, by the way, Ben?
Yeah, I've been pretty selective. We've had success on Wanna Bet, to be exact, this, especially in the championship series. Last night, we were 2-1. Had the nerfy. That was unfortunate. But we also did have Shane Bieber strikeouts. He did bounce back. I was sending messages to Jason that were
he was attacking
explicit.
The man's mustache.
Yeah. I was not a fan of it.
Then he started getting swing and miss, and all of a sudden.
I did. I took it back, though.
He did take it back.
So but can I ask you a question? When he signs with the Orioles, do you want him with or without the mustache? Because that smells like an Oriole signing.
If that's what they sell me, I'd be pretty disappointed. And if Manzo's the manager, I'd be pretty disappointed as well. But after last night, I'll say I prefer the mustache.
Okay.
You're going to get both versions of him, because if he starts with the mustache and he stinks, like he will, he'll shave the mustache and try it for good luck.
Right.
If he starts without the mustache and stinks, because he will, he'll then grow the mustache to try to change it up.
There's also option 3. He starts with the mustache and he's good, and then he keeps
the mustache.
Yeah.
But also his injury history, the mustache, he might be out for a while. He gets hurt too regular. But the one play that I do like tonight, Freddie Freeman, over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. Listen, if they like Ashby's going to start, so Freeman will see Ashby first. And Freeman's worse against lefties, I get that. He's going to get the Miz twice. And I think Freeman, high velocity, very good hitter. I think the Dodgers have a chance to put it on a little bit. I think the Miz is going to be a little wild on the road. I think he's going to walk some guys. I think Freddie drives a fastball into right for an RBI base hit at some point. So over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs.
Where can the people find you, Beltway Ben?
At BH Journalist on Twitter, and then you find all of our stuff at Wanna Bet with us, and it's growing.
And Wanna Bet's not just a Monday through Friday thing.
Yeah.
No.
This is every
this
day.
Is 7 days a week.
Days a week. You work
it's like
7-Eleven. Yeah. It's you work through haircuts. You
yes.
work through everything
vet
you can
appointments.
Think. Vet appointments. Anything you can think of, we are still going to be live.
If you go to www.wannabetwithus.com, you can sign up on Spotify there. Mm. You can sign up.
You don't like watching, you're blind, you can listen.
Yep.
Yeah. There's any way
if you're a better without sight, you can still hear Wannabet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm getting better about making sure I give out the actual bet and not just rely on the graphic.
Oh.
Because
But I mean, I would watch on YouTube if you can. I mean, but as Jason mentioned on Wannabet today, which you can go back and listen anywhere. You can, not only can you watch it on your way home from work, I want to hear that conversation again. I missed a few things. Turn it on, put it on the car, and you listen.
And you're going to see, and if you're just listening, you didn't get to see Ben's haircut. So you want to
watch
it.
You want to watch it.
So you can see.
It's looking good. Yeah.
Ben's sleek now. Yeah. He's got no hair holding him back anymore.
We both got haircuts this week.
So he's lean, mean. He's even more efficient than ever.
Yeah. Anything you like tonight?
Yeah, watch the show.
Okay, there you go. Tell him where to go.
I like a lot. We're killing soccer markets. Bundesliga?
It's pronounced D,
Yeah. There's plenty in there.
We were going nuts the other day because you hit like a parlay and just like it was one hit after hit after hit.
He likes that English.
We had somebody from the country message us and say how much they loved it, but they did say it rhymes with tree. So every time Jason calls it Die Bundesliga, I just mention it's D because that's what they
ask. D-I-E.
Yeah, but he calls it Die, I say it's D. Somebody from that country. Die.
Yeah. So they would know.
Potato.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's working, so I'm not confident.
That's the point. Yeah. Jason mentioned to the viewer, we're cashing the bets. We're going to say it how we want.
Yes. Coming up next.
Like Bieber and his mustache.
Yeah.
It's great till it's not, and then you do what you got to do.
What should the Ravens be doing here during the bye week?
Watching Wannabet, honestly.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they're allowed to do that.
They're allowed to watch it.
Yeah. Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. We'll ask him next here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.